All right, well, a little shorter message today, and it's not really a sermon. It's more like a brief pep talk or challenge, if you will. And today there are no proverbs involved, and although I'm sure I could have found a couple to throw in there, and there's no stories of foolishness from my earlier years to entertain you. In his letter to the Colossians, Paul exhorts his readers to let the word of Christ dwell in them richly as they teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And to the Ephesians, he explains that the whole church grows and builds itself up in love because of the work and contribution of each member. He tells the Corinthians that everyone in the church should have an equal concern for each other. And to the Romans, he goes so far to say that each member of the church belongs to all the others. And based on this, they are to serve one another in love. The writer of Hebrews challenges his readers along the same line. You will recall the verse. He calls on them to spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And Peter speaks with the same voice, saying each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. And also John, of course, with the simple charge, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And of course, we could go on. These are familiar verses. This is a familiar theme. These are the sorts of things that we have talked about quite a bit here through the years. From these and other passages, we have this picture of a body of believers united in both love and purpose, encouraging each other, teaching each other, exhorting each other, a picture of mutual edification and accountability, a picture of a healthy church, a committed community of faith, praying for each other, making sacrifices for one another, all for the common good. Everyone doing their part, all giving, all receiving, a picture of heaven. The goal, of course, is that everyone will be equipped to defend their faith, share their faith with others, stand for their faith, and when needed, suffer for their faith. And this maturity in our walk with God, this sanctification, this transformation in the image of His Son, well, as we all know, it is something that we cannot do alone. We need each other. This is one of the reasons, a big reason, why God established the church. It is in the church, the family of God, where our interactions with each other is part of the way that God designed for us to be transformed, sanctified. And this really is a beautiful thing. We've talked about this quite a bit in the past. It really is. What God has designed here is really a wonderful and brilliant and beautiful thing. We do not live it out here nearly to the degree that we should, but hopefully we do see the value of it and are moving in that direction more and more. There are those who are quite faithful and are always giving of themselves to see others mature and grow, and others yet who unfortunately do very little, if anything. And for the rest of us, I suppose it kind of depends on the day. Sometimes we are givers, sometimes we are takers, and sometimes we just want to be left alone. And so let me once again encourage everyone to be diligent in this area. Think Ephesians 4, 15 through 16, where Paul writes, "We will speak the truth in love, growing in every way, more and more like Christ, who is the head of His body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." What a picture. Now, for this morning, I want us to go a little bit beyond what typically comes to mind when we talk about these sorts of things and expand our application of this. It is easy for us as adults to visualize adults spurring one another on toward love and good deeds. But what about adults, you and I, encouraging, exhorting, and building up folks like Simon Jones, or Caleb Schwartz, or Claire Meyer, or Mae Stevens, or Gabriel Warren, or any of the members in our youth group? Perhaps we don't think really so much in those terms because, after all, that's what parents are for, right? And that's why we hire a youth group minister. That's, you know, that's all their business, not really mine. Think how meaningful it would be to them if every now and then you were to pull one of them aside and simply ask, "Hey, what have you been reading in your Bible lately? Or what are you learning in youth group? Or are you going through any struggles that you'd like for me to pray about?" I would think something like that would just be incredibly valuable to them. They may not appreciate it that much in that particular moment, but certainly later they would. You know, I was in a youth group during my, I was in a church during my youth group year. I was in a youth group during, I'm saying this all wrong. I was once in a youth group. And it was not like ours, that's for sure. And I never had anyone say in the church I was at, no one ever said anything like that to me. And I can't imagine the effect that that would have had to have had a grown-up show the kind of interest and support and show that kind of support in my walk with the Lord. Now, we could also apply some of this effort to our younger, we could also apply some of this effort to our younger kids who are not yet in the youth group as well. But certainly all of us could be more intentional in all of this, especially with those who are in their teenage years. There really isn't any reason we can't be all more in, that we can't be more intentional in reaching out to them and building them up as the scriptures exhort us to. Now, another way that we can edify and equip our younger folks here is to make sure that we are providing the necessary resources for that as a church. I mean, obviously, there's always room for improvement in our Sunday school and youth group programs, but we do have, I must say, a really, I believe, a good thing going on in these areas here. And we are quite intentional about all of this. Take the Brink class here for a moment. This would be fourth graders up to 13 years old. This is really, I don't know if you've looked at this, but this is a pretty comprehensive three-year program, and it covers a lot. We do a survey of every book in the New Testament. We expose them to entry-level apologetics. We teach them about the fall and its effects. That's stuff I didn't get until I was 30 years old. We address cultural issues like the sanctity of life, the sanctity of marriage, talk about the persecution of Christians in hostile countries. And we do a general overall study of the Old Testament as well. I mean, these are young kids, fourth graders up to 13 years old, or up to, includes the 12-year-olds. And this is the class that every parent should long to get their kids into. And this class is possible because, quite frankly, your contributions enable us to provide the resources for it. And it's possible because we have volunteers, qualified volunteers, who give of their time and effort to make it happen. And we appreciate their sacrifices and efforts in this, for sure. And the Brink class, of course, prepares them for the best of the best, you know, our youth group. It's preparing them for that. And from the very beginning, the youth group has been a major program of our church, something we've always have tried to make a priority here. And indeed, we have been blessed with many, many solid and committed and effective youth group ministers through the years and volunteers during our 25-year history here. And we have a solid and committed and effective youth group minister now and volunteer sponsors to help him. Think of all those kids through the years who have now become adults and are now flourishing in their faith. We kind of reflect upon some of those faces and names. You know, many are here in our church now. They are adults and they're giving themselves to service in service to others. And some have moved away and have become active in their own churches. And a few are involved in ministry of some kind, some in full-time pro-life work. Now, the youth group can't take all the credit for this, obviously, but I would argue that it can take some, should take some. The point really here is that it has been worth every dime. It has been worth all the time, all the expense, all the effort invested by the parents, by the volunteers, by the sponsors, the youth group ministers, by the church, and the investment that the kids themselves have made. So just real quick here, raise your hand if you are over 21 and you were once a member of our church's youth group. How many do we have? All right, quite a few. Good. Has it been a waste of time? All right. In case you didn't hear the recording of that, everybody shook their head no. So it's an introverted church. All right. So now about once every 2 years, we've been able to send a group of our youth group kids to Summit Ministries. So let me talk about that for just a moment here. The first thing I want to just get out on the table is that there are a few things about Summit Ministry that don't exactly thrill me. They're not big issues, but as I talk about Summit, I don't want to leave you with the impression that there aren't some things that I'd be happy to see changed. But that's true about anything that I'm involved in. I mean, you know, there's lots of things here I'd like to see changed. That said, the contribution Summit Ministry makes to our kids is worth the time, the effort, the expense. And there is no small amount of time, effort, and expense to make all this happen. And I could list many contributions that they will provide for our kids, but this morning I just want to offer four here rather quickly. And each are pretty obvious, but they do deserve to be mentioned. The first one is that there are going to be a lot of truths that we believe, that are quite important that that they will teach the kids. You know, those truths will get, that we teach here will get amened and reinforced there. And to get this from other teachers in a completely different environment has a lot of value to that, because it's just another way of pounding it in over and over and over. And this added voice can be very helpful and is something that we should be eager to support. So the things that we teach here and try to instill in them, that will get amened and reinforced. I really like that. Second thing along that line is they will get taught a number of things that we either don't get a chance to cover here or we don't really cover that thoroughly. And so Summit provides a great supplement. It can fill in some of those missing pieces. Let me give you a sample of what's in store for our kids this year when they go. They'll be learning about the case against relativism. They'll be taking a closer look at Islam, those sessions on the reliability of the Gospels, talking about threats to campus liberty, introduction to worldviews, Christian view of economics, of course, evangelism, dealing with doubts, bioethics, postmodernism, leadership theory, conversational apologetics, how to think about homosexuality and evil and suffering and so on. And according to the schedule, there will even be some church history. So that's pretty cool, huh? All right. Now, a number of these won't necessarily be new topics to our kids, but they will have a chance to go a little deeper with them or at least hear them approach from a different angle. And some of the teachers, names that you may be familiar with or should be familiar with here, would include Michael Bauman, who has spoken here, John Stone Street, you should be familiar with him, and of course, Scott Klusendorf, and many, many others. A third thing Summit will offer our kids will be camaraderie with other teens from around the country who share a similar worldview. Now, sometimes we can feel a little bit isolated here. We would really love to do things with other youth groups, and we have not ruled that out, would like to pursue that. But whenever we've looked at that in the past, just say it straightforwardly, the options are not always very encouraging. At Summit, our kids will interact with and make friends with other kids who come from environments, churches, homes, youth groups, where thinking and acting biblically is a priority. Kids who share a common desire to be equipped in their faith, to learn, go deeper, and to push themselves. And this camaraderie, which is fostered at Summit, is very, very valuable. And sometimes long-term relationships are forged. And fourthly is just the experience itself. You know, the whole business of going on a two-day trip across the middle of America and ending up in one of the most beautiful parts of the country, Colorado Springs, you know, contributes to the making of this rich and lifelong memory. They will have opportunities to go hiking through the mountains, climbing Pikes Peak, canoeing, outdoor cookouts, various sporting events. And I think there's even an opportunity to visit the studios of Focus on the Family and things like that. So this is great stuff. And to get 1,000 miles away from your parents, I mean, what kid would not find a two-week opportunity like that to be a highlight of their life? So the conference is billed as both intensive and fun, and it should be both, and we want it to be both, and we're glad that that's how it is. So let me encourage you to encourage our kids, interact with them, do your part in building them up, and support the youth group program, support and encourage Josh, encourage our volunteers. In fact, volunteers on different levels are sometimes needed, and so consider that, and if interested, talk to Josh about it. And stay today for the auction. I mean, participate in the bidding. Spend money, spend lots of money. Invest in our kids because they are worth investing in. No one, now, just to turn the corner here a little bit as I wind this down, no one but the Lord himself really knows what the future will bring here. But humor me for a moment, and I actually like to entertain these sorts of things, but humor me for a moment as I try to imagine our church 20 to 30 years from now. These are the sorts of, you know, there are all sorts of possibilities here, and some of them would not be far-fetched. So first, let me just get this out of the way real quick. 25 years from now, I'll probably be in a wheelchair back in the corner over there, and I'll either be asleep or I'll be joining Julian with spontaneous outbursts, okay? And his outbursts will be joyful ones. Mine will probably be of the other kind. But. Now, I would expect that by then we'll have a newer projector and with dazzling features we can't possibly imagine, because what would technology look like in the year 2047? The pastor at that time will be probably friendly, gentle, compassionate, patient, young, and hip. It's the hip part that will cause me to have all those outbursts during the service. Many of the teens who are in our youth group now will be married with their own kids, and some of their kids will be in that youth group. In 2047, some of those kids in our youth group now will be Sunday school teachers, youth group sponsors, volunteers in various ministries. Picture this. Some might be elders. Some might be on staff. One might be the youth group minister. One might even be the pastor. I mean, who knows? Hopefully they will be then and always, to the day of their last breath, solid in their faith, committed to the Lord, loving Him and others, fighting, or faithful to fight the good fight to the very end. Hopefully the investment their parents made and our church made will yield good fruit. And they, in turn, will invest in their own kids, and that our church at that time will even be more intentional than we are. And the youth group will be thriving even more than it is now, and will continue to be in each succeeding generation. This is what we're working toward. If the Lord returns sooner, then great. If not, then let us be about the business of slugging it out with the world, the flesh, and the devil, and get the next generation ready to jump into the ring. Sending our kids to Summit this summer, well, I mean, not everything in the future rests on that, but it is yet another piece, another opportunity we have to train them for what lies ahead, another opportunity to invest ourselves in them. But the main thing is that we are training and investing, and that we are doing so wisely, faithfully, and diligently. And so again, I just encourage you, pray for our kids. Interact with them one-on-one. Challenge them. Encourage them. Edify them. Equip them. Contribute faithfully to the church so that we won't lack the resources to fulfill our part in this. Encourage and support our youth group minister and the volunteers and the Sunday school teachers and those who administer the Sunday school program. Currently, that would be Carrie, Warren, and Connie Smith. And take delight in our kids and teens. I mean, take delight in them, all of them. The future here really does look promising, but we can't take anything for granted. The world, the flesh, and the devil, they all have an agenda, and the good fight has to be fought. So let us do that. All right, let's close our service now at this point with...